Good morning. It is 8:06. I'm Christine Weller, filling in for Leslie Thatcher on the local news hour. On the phone with us is ABC4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes with the weather update. Good morning, Cedric.
Good morning, and it's great to hear from you this morning here as we're dealing with a chilly start out there, but we've got a mixture of clouds and sunshine across the area. We'll keep it partly cloudy skies for the first half of your day, but as we go throughout the day, we'll still warm those temperatures up despite some of the extra clouds in the sky. So we'll see those highs climbing into the low 60s in the Park City area as we go into the afternoon hours. But for the Heber Valley, how about those temperatures climbing near 70 degrees? So it'll be pretty nice afternoon out there across most of the area. Now, there will be a chance of a couple of isolated showers to develop as we get into your afternoon hours across the region. But we're not expecting a ton of rainfall from that. One of the main concerns would likely be the chance of a few microburst wind gusts that could come out of those showers as they make their way through. But they'll be few and far between as we go into the afternoon hours. Now, tonight, we're going to be seeing a strong cold front moving its way into the northern half of Utah, and that's going to mean increasing rain chances across the area. But as some colder air quickly works in with this strong cold front, we're expecting those rain showers to mix with and change over to snow showers as we go into the overnight hours. So temperatures will be likely dropping down both in Park City and the Heber Valley into the mid-30s, and so I definitely think we'll be seeing some snow showers coming down, especially during the pre-dawn hours, and that could extend into the very first part of your Thursday. We could see some decent snow showers coming down as we go into your Thursday morning or Friday morning commute out there. So be aware of that as that system rolls on through. And then as we go throughout the day on Thursday, we'll see off and on snow showers with temperatures only in the low 40s for highs in Park City and high temperatures only around 50 in the Heber Valley. And then as we go into your Thursday night, we see some wraparound moisture moving in, and that means we'll see another chance of scattered snow showers Thursday night into Friday morning. And some of those snow showers could actually accumulate as we go into your Friday morning. So, yeah, it's very possible for places like Park City and some of our mountain valleys to pick up the potential of 3 to 6 inches of snow between Thursday and Friday as this system rolls on through. The Heber Valley could pick up a half inch to an inch of snow as well by the time we get towards your Friday morning. So definitely a change from springtime weather to winter-like weather conditions across the area. But the good news is it's short-lived, so as we go into the weekend, the sunshine returns for our Saturday, still on the chilly side with highs only in the 40s in Park City and only in the low 50s in the Heber Valley. But for Easter Sunday right now, it looks dry and fairly quiet. We'll see temperatures starting off around the freezing mark in both Park City and the Heber Valley, and we'll see our temperatures warming back up for Easter Sunday in the low 50s in Park City, and we should climb back into the low 60s in the Heber Valley. So we've got a dip to wintertime temperatures and winter-like conditions for the end of the week, but the holiday weekend is looking to improve a little bit. And then heading into next week, we start off mild with temperatures in the mid-50s in Park City and low 60s in the Heber Valley, but we'll cool it back down and even the chance of maybe another passing snow shower in Park City by next Tuesday. So we're kind of all over the place, but for today, we're still on the warm side, and that's what we like to hear.
All right. Thank you so much, Cedric.
Thank you.
And coming up on the local news hour this morning, National Weather Service senior hydrologist Glenn Merrill joins the show to discuss Utah's 2025 spring runoff outlook. Then Park City Song Summit co-founder Ben Anderson announces this year's festival lineup along with details about its new location. And executive director of Summit Community Gardens and Eats, Helen Nadel, has an update on the growing season and programs to get kids and adults in the dirt. And Park City Song Summit and the Summit Community Gardens and Eats are both KPCW sponsors. After that, stay tuned for the Mountain Life at 9 o'clock. Dr. Caroline Fleck talks about the most important social skill we have and why it's the key to conflict resolution, building intimacy, and even true love. And the average American worker spends 156 hours a year engaged in workplace conflict. Drs. John Elliott and Jim Gwynn explore how they get along with anyone. Let's jump into some local news. Attorneys for Park City Mountain went to bat for its right to upgrade two chairlifts in a Salt Lake City courtroom Tuesday. KPCW's Parker Malatest reports a panel of judges had questions about the project's parking plan.
Utah Court of Appeals to overturn a 2022 Park City Planning Commission decision to revoke a permit to upgrade the Silver Lode and Eagle chairlifts after four residents filed an appeal. The decision was upheld in 2023 when a district court judge said there were reasonable doubts about the project's parking plan. Attorney Ryan Cook, representing Park City Mountain, said the commission's assessment of the resort's parking plan went beyond the scope of their role. Lift upgrades, Vail argues, would not have added to parking demand. That's where Judge Amy Oliver said she saw a disconnect.
Like, we have a plan. You submitted a plan and it was modified to add additional requirements. So it seems that there's a big disconnect to say, well, there was no parking impact.
Cook said the resort was trying to be good partners with the city.
And I think it's a matter of no good deed goes unpunished. The planning director and its staff asked Park City Mountain to submit a parking mitigation plan. Park City Mountain wants to improve these lifts. It wants to continually improve the mountain. And so it did. And it did so voluntarily.
Oliver's focus on parking came near the end of an hour-long hearing before a panel of three judges. It wasn't immediately clear Tuesday when the court would issue a decision. Attorney Laura Swenson represented both Park City Municipal and the residents group that filed the initial appeal at Tuesday's hearing. Since the commission's decision, Swenson said Park City Mountain has had several years to ask the city for a conditional use permit to upgrade its lifts, rather than seek an expedited administrative process. Swenson pointed judges to the 1998 agreement governing future resort development that City Hall struck with Powder, the former owner of Park City Mountain. In that agreement is a mountain upgrade plan that establishes an expedited review process for essentially pre-approved lift projects, in which the resort could sidestep the Planning Commission and get administrative approval from the planning director. However, Park City Mountain is required to meet several standards to win approval under that process. Residents appealed former Park City Planning Director Gretchen Milliken's initial approval of the lift project, claiming it did not comply with the standards set out in the 1998 agreement. In their review of the resident appeal, the Planning Commission determined that the project failed to meet two standards, including an adequate parking plan. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
On the phone with me is National Weather Service Senior Hydrologist Glenn Merrill. He's here to talk about Utah's 2025 spring runoff outlook. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So flooding is the number one disaster risk in Utah. So tell us a little bit more about that and what kind of stuff we should expect in the Wasatch back this spring.
Okay, this spring, so really good news. There are a lot of positives all the way around the board. The risk of flooding from snowmelt runoff is extremely low this year, less than 10%. We've had another good snowpack during this latest winter season. It was actually the third year in a row that we had an above normal snowpack across the Wasatch Back. That hasn't happened since the late 1990s. So it's been almost three decades since we've seen 3 years in a row of above normal snowpack. Now, that being said, we were just slightly above normal. And the way that we've warmed up thus far this year, we've pulled a lot of low and mid elevation snow off the hills already. And we're really just kind of maintaining an upper elevation snowpack now. And the risk of flooding moving forward is, again, extremely low for this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the snow water equivalent is above normal, but that's not true for the whole state, is that right? How does the Wasatch?
No.
How does it compare here to maybe like southern Utah?
Right. So the Wasatch Back is, and many of the watersheds in the Wasatch Back, including the Weaver and the Upper Provo and East Canyon and such, they've been running close to anywhere between near normal to 110% of normal snowpack during the peak snowpack period a couple weeks ago before we saw this recent melt. Northern Utah has benefited from our storm tracks this year much more significantly than southern Utah, where southern Utah had critically low snowpack, record low in some places for their historical record. Across the southwestern mountains of southern Utah. So it's really two tails across the state, where northern Utah has once again done well, and southern Utah has seen critically low snowpack in many of their mountain areas.
All right. And Utah's peak snowpack conditions usually occur the first week of April, but this year that was 2 weeks ahead of schedule. What does that mean for Utah and the Wasatch Back?
Right. So there's a few things that we look at. This year, you're 100% correct. We peaked on a statewide average for our snowpack back on March 23rd, right about near normal on a statewide average. Even though Southern Utah was critically low, things balanced out by how well we did up here in the north. Now, one of the things, especially for water supply, is that we want to maintain that snowpack as deep into the spring as possible so that we can create the most efficient runoff as we get into the months of May and early June for the highest watersheds. When you have an earlier than normal runoff, what we see, especially with the soil conditions the way they were this year, we see a loss of that water directly to the soils before it can even run off the landscape and get into our creeks, rivers, and then downstream into our reservoir areas. We've been seeing that this year where we've seen, you know, early melt, a loss of that water into the soils, vegetation pulling that moisture and growing earlier than normal during these recent warm temperature periods. So the efficiency of the runoff becomes less than if we held on to it longer in the year and then pulled it off all at one time. Another kind of negative aspect of having an earlier than normal runoff, which we've seen this year begin, is that you're lengthening the warm season. You're lengthening the period of where we're going to have to be drawing from our water resources, from our reservoirs for a longer period of time. Can also create a longer fire weather season where our vegetation grows and then dries out earlier than normal, and which can also prolong a fire weather season on some years. So really we want to hold on to that snow as long as possible. This year we did start melting it early, and that trend is continuing now.
All right. And I know that soil moisture kind of also plays into this. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, 100%. Again, I just been speaking to the point where we've been losing some of that water from the snowpack into the soils before it can run off the landscape. This year, especially compared to the last couple of years, our soil moistures have been a bit lower. If you think back to last October in the area, you know, firefighters were still battling the Yellow Lake fire in the western Uintas in the month of October. October was record-breaking heat, the hottest October on record. What that did was dry out our soils at a period of time where we're looking to get those early fall rain events to moisten our soils. So we went into the winter with drier than normal soils. And most recently, due to the warm temperatures that we've been experiencing as of late, beginning that melt at the mid and even the upper elevation areas, we've seen our soil moistures come up to above normal values for this time of year, but that's a direct result of melting that snow, putting that water into the soils earlier than normal. It's kind of tricky when you look at numbers now, but the net result is we went into this winter season with drier than normal soils, certainly drier than they've been the last couple of years. And we're going to see less efficient runoff due to that. We're going to see more loss of that water that we're storing in the snowpack into our soils before it can get into our creeks, rivers, and downstream into the reservoirs.
Okay, that makes sense. You mentioned, you know, the flooding risk is not very high because of what's happening with our water supply. But does this mean we might have an increased risk of fire danger since the season is the warm season is going to be much longer?
We'll see how it plays out. The weather's going to dictate that. Again, we have begun our runoff earlier than normal by a couple weeks. The trends in the weather look to maintain after a storm system that'll move through tomorrow and into Friday. After that, it's going to maintain more likely than not above normal temperatures and drier conditions. So we are expecting the runoff to kind of wind down earlier than normal. It all depends on how quickly we heat up and fully dry out once we get into later May and June, and what that does to the vegetation and, you know, the fuels as we head into the hottest months of the year. Right now, Predictive Services is looking at large wildfire potential. They are not keying in on the Park City area as being an area that should be seeing abnormal fire conditions compared to normal this year. Across southern Utah, they're expecting a higher risk for large wildfires, an above normal risk in southern Utah. But that's not where Park City lies. And in fact, if you look at the drought status across the state and the changes from the beginning of the water year back in October 1st to currently, much of western Summit County, including the Park City area, is drought-free, one of the only areas in the state right now that is drought-free. And that's really good news, and that's indicative of, you know, having these three good winters in a row, with 2023 being a record-breaking winter, still reaping the benefits from that, and then getting the storm track favoring the Park City and especially Wasatch Range areas to bring us that beneficial moisture this year to keep us, you know, in a drought-free status. So, yes, we could see a longer than normal fire season due to the earlier than normal melt, but right now we're in actually really good shape from a drought perspective.
All right, that's really good. And I know, again, you mentioned that flooding is not, there's not a super high risk of flooding, but do you have any advice for our listeners about preparation or, you know, tips to stay safe when waters rise?
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest risks, flooding or not, is that as we get into peak flow, which is going to occur, you know, during the month of May for our highest elevation watersheds, we're talking the Weber River, the Provo River, et cetera. When we get into those peak flow conditions, that water is going to be running very high, very fast, even if it's not even close to flooding out of its banks. You need to be really vigilant around these waterways during the springtime and the snowmelt runoff season, just because the water's moving so swiftly, and just within 24 hours or so, that water was snow. So it's extremely cold. If you fall into that water, the risk of hypothermia, you know, that happens within minutes. So you really need to be vigilant around these waterways when we're seeing these peak flow conditions, which we'll begin to experience here in the next coming months or so. Especially watch young kids around these waterways and pets, because they're quite hazardous when they're running in these peak flow conditions.
Okay. Is there anything else you think we should know?
You know, from my perspective, the hydrologic outlook for the Park City area is just a really positive right now, a really positive one. The area reservoirs are in great shape. If they don't completely fill up this spring, they're going to come really close. You're sitting drought-free. You just had your third winter of above-normal snowpack. It was a great ski season. Just a lot of positives to talk about when you look at the local hydrology at this time. You know, just because we're not in drought now, drought is normal for the state of Utah, so we're always preparing for drought. So always keep in the back of your mind, you know, protecting those water resources that you have, and only using as much water as you need to. You know, water conservation is a huge thing in this state, and we should continue to conserve it as best as we can, even during these periods of you know, bounty that we're experiencing.
Okay. We've been speaking with National Weather Service Senior Hydrologist Glenn Merrill. Thank you so much for joining us, Glenn.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And here with me now, we've got Park City Song Summit co-founder Ben Anderson. He's here in studio with me to announce this year's festival lineup, along with details about its new location. Hi.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very, very excited. We work for months and months and months for just today, and In 1 minute, all the tickets go on sale for Song Summit 2025. So it's a big day for us. Very excited. That's why I have the Mardi Gras beads on and the Song Summit shirt. This is a big day. It's an exciting day. It's beautiful outside, and we are so, so thrilled to be coming back into the heart of Park City for this year's event.
Yeah, so first, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about Park City Song Summit. What is it? What is it about?
Well, for anybody out there that hasn't heard about it or come to it over the last few years, it's a music and wellness festival, which really is a disruptor in the space of traditional music festivals. We have morning wellness, where we have yoga and meditation and sound baths, and hopefully this year we'll have cold plunges. And then we have what we truly believe is our special sauce, and that is called the Song Summit Labs. And those are panel discussions, artist-to-artist discussions, thought leaders, and it covers a range of topics. Mental health and wellness are very, very important to us. And so we take a very holistic, inclusive approach towards our lineup, towards our speakers, and towards our audience. So Song Summit is a place where you can just come as you are, be who you are, be seen, be heard, and realize that we are all part of this beautiful fabric of what we call America. And we try to use the healing and powerful music platform to be able to reach people's hearts. And so these labs are phenomenal. And this year there's gonna be some great ones. Marcus King and Chef Andrew Zimmern talking about the nexus between mental health challenges in the culinary world and the music world. You'll have LPGOB, the amazing dance music, house music DJ, who'll be talking about her program, Femme House Workshop, which empowers young women to learn how to produce and perform house music. You'll have an AI lab with Eric Krasno. You'll have a rock and roll lab with Goose and Dawes. We'll do a Grateful Dead lab to honor their 60th anniversary. It's just going to be a lot of fun. Then we move into City Park. And Friday night will be Dawes and Friends with Dwayne Betts, and followed by Green Sky Bluegrass and Holly Bowling. And then on Saturday night in the park, we will have Terrapin Family Band with Graham Lesh, Phil Lesh's son, and a whole host of great musicians to play the Grateful Dead. And then Goose will play two sets. So there'll be Goose in the park. So get ready for it. And our nighttime shows are going to be fabulous there at the Marquee. And so on Thursday night, first we'll start with a very special, special night with limited ticket availability at Le Depot Brasserie, my friend Galen Zamora's restaurant right at the base of Main Street, the old Zoom. And Chef Andrew Zimmern and Marcus King will do a specially curated menu around each course being one of his songs. And then we will waddle up the street, I suppose, after a great meal. And everybody, there will be tickets available to go see Dwayne Betts and Palmetto Motel opening up for Marcus King and Eric Krasno. And that's our kickoff night. And then each night, our after parties at the Marquee. Friday night will be Sima Funk and Pedrito Martinez in a celebration of Cubano and Latin music. And we will close out everything on Saturday night after Goose at the Marquee with LPGOB doing her Dead House set. So it's going to be a fabulous lineup, lots of great things. And there's something for all ages, like my friends Solomon and Theo out there. They're young kids. They're going to be able to come and have a great time in the park. So we are just thrilled and so appreciative and grateful to this city for welcoming us back, for the city council and Chris Finney and all those that have worked so hard to put us back into the park and on Main Street. We're so excited, and we just want to make sure that the people who live in the what we call the Song Summit Pulse Zone, so the heart that's beating right around City Park. If you live between 8th and 15th, or you live between Sullivan and Empire, please reach out at info@parkcitysongsummit.com and let us know that, because we're going to be hosting some open houses to do Q&As with people all throughout the summer leading up to the event. And you'll also be getting discounted tickets because to show our gratitude for hosting us and having us in your backyard to be able to bring this wonderful event back into the heart of Park City.
Okay, so discounted tickets, is that just for people living in those areas? Because I know the Park City Council kind of wanted 84060 residents to get discounted tickets.
Well, I wouldn't say that the city council said that. I think that Ed Parisian said that it'd be nice if the tickets were lower, but Ed doesn't see my books and see just how hard it is to run a music festival and how expensive it is. But we did want to, at least the people who are most affected, to do a discount. So I would just compare notes with Ed if he wanted to talk through that with me. But no, that was just one area that we said that we are going to help. But I live in the Colony, and that's 84060. So if we did 84060, we would basically be doing most all of our tickets discounted. So I guess I could raise the ticket prices and then discount those, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to play those money games. I just want everybody to come out. There are ticket prices that people should be able to afford. Everything from something in the $30 range up to if you want to be there for the whole weekend. So I believe we are extremely competitive with other festivals around the country. In fact, we are a lot less expensive than other festivals, yet it's just as expensive for us as it is for Live Nation to throw something. And I don't know, my balance sheet does not look like Live Nation's. So we're still trying to survive as a new event. And independent festivals are dropping like flies around this country. So I could just have everybody come free and it'll be the last Park City Song Summit. But we'd prefer not to do that. And so I think other council members and other people in the community understand that. And so, yeah, we feel like our prices are very, very competitive, and we want as many people to come as possible, but we also want to survive as a business entity so that we can keep bringing the goodness year over year. Our Song Summit Foundation this year is bringing in over 50 kids from all around the country. A lot of those are local, and some go as far as Havana, Cuba. They'll have their own youth track this year for their labs and workshops and mentorships and professional one-on-ones. And so we're very much looking forward to hosting and providing scholarships for those kids to be able to come in, and I say kids, youth, 14 to 25, which I'm 60, so that feels very much like a kid to me. But we're happy because they'll be able to perform on the foundation stage in City Park. We'll have two stages, the foundation stage and the main stage. Another thing that we're very thrilled about in moving to City Park is for the first time, now we're allowed to be able to bring in local retailers, local food and beverage, which is key to us, right? So we have a lot of friends and neighbors in this town who have, you know, distilleries, and they have bars and they have restaurants and things like that. We want them to be highlighted in City Park. And, you know, with Sundance saying sayonara, we're here to stay, and we'd love to be able to stay. And we want to bring thousands of people into this town every day that can go to our retail and our restaurants and our hotels and utilize the services here and be able to give it an economic boost at a time when we really need it. And so we love having Park City in our name. I love living here. And we love being able to come back into the park and on Main Street and at Jim Santee Auditorium. Every morning, the wellness will happen at Library Park, where we do our yoga and meditation, and then we'll move into Jim Santee for the labs. And then we'll go over to City Park for two shows there, two performances, and then we'll head up to Main Street. So, you know, you can go get tickets at parkcitysongsummit.com. And we have lodging packages available. They sold out very quickly last year, so get those while they last. We also ended up selling out our all-in tickets and then our single-day all-ins. So those tend to go first, but we hope you'll go out there, grab some tickets, come out, and please, please go to the website and look at the FAQs. Please be good neighbors. Walk if you can, you know, get some exercise, ride that bike, get an e-bike, get on the bus, you know, take alternative means of transportation. And if you can't, then there will be different areas for drop-off and pickup. We will have bike valets to be able to take your bike and to give you a ticket, just like you would a car valet. And then parking will be at Richardson Flat. And on Saturday, also, the high school will be a parking spot. And then Deer Valley will have coordinated parking there. So if you can't walk or ride a bike or ride the bus, we ask you to please park in one of those three areas and come out and enjoy it. We're bringing music back to City Park in a big way. And so we hope the community will embrace us and we can nurture this along so that it happens year over year. We could not be more excited.
Awesome. I know there were some concerns about parking, so it's good to know that that's kind of been figured out. You've also been mentioning that the Song Summit will be at a new location this year. It's at City Park instead of Canyons. Can you talk a little bit more about that change?
Well, I one of the things I already alluded to, and that is that we can bring in our own food and beverage. And so that way we can have our friends and our food trucks and things that we know locally here to be able to come and, quite frankly, to be able to show off their product and be able to sell their product and make their lives more sustainable. So we're bringing in a lot of small businesses to be able to do that. So that's huge for us, both in terms of a community vibe and also in terms of our bottom line and being able to handle that. We love being in the park, right? And there's just not enough music in the heart of the town here. We appreciate and we're honored to be able to work 2 years with Park City Mountain and the Pendry Hotel. They've been wonderful partners. But this opportunity arose, and it's a dream to be able to play in City Park. And so that's there's a number of reasons why we chose to do it, but not the least of which is a lot of my friends are very stoked that they're going to be able to walk across the street or down the street and be able to see world-class music every day for a couple of days. So we're thrilled and only looking onward and upward. So, you know, there's Dawes is playing this year, and their favorite song of mine, my favorite song of theirs, I should say, is, you know, When My Time Comes, and right? And I feel like this is Park City Song Summit's time has come. But there's also a line that says, anyone making something new only breaks something else, right? And that's the, you know, you got to break some eggs to make an omelet. You sometimes have to, you know, move forward and do something brand new. And so I think our time has come. I really appreciate our partnership with KPCW. You guys are always so supportive of us, and so is this community and your listeners. So, you know, peace, love, and music, right?
And tickets are available right now, is that right?
They are available right now, so go get them before they sell out, and please come join us August 14, 15, and 16 in City Park and on Main Street for Park City Song Summit 2025. We love our community. We really want to be a beacon for people that realize that in this day and age where we're so divided in this world, and we pick up our phones and we're just devastated each and every day at some new thing, this can be a place where you can love, connect, and have community, be creative, and be yourself, and be seen and heard. So come on out. We love you, we want you to come and be part of Song Summit.
All right. Is there anything else you think we should know?
I just think that if you will get there early and do the early morning wellness, that it is such a beautiful way to start a day of music and conversation. And you'll need it to stretch those backs out so that you can still be dancing at the marquee at the after shows. So, you know, please come, please enjoy, and you're going to see world-class music right here in our little town, all in a big density on August 14, 15, and 16. So come on out.
Awesome. We've been speaking with Park City Song Summit co-founder Ben Anderson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a beautiful day.
Heber City Mayor Heidi Franco says she intends to run for a second term, and she'll have at least one challenger, Councilmember Scott Phillips. KPCW's Grace Dorfler reports.
Franco told KPCW in an email Monday she will seek 4 more years as Heber's mayor. Also entering the race is Councilmember Scott Phillips, who was elected to the City Council in 2021. The announcements come just ahead of tonight's Heber City Council vote on whether to use ranked choice voting for a third election cycle. In a phone interview hours before the meeting, Phillips told KPCW he wants to offer the city's voters an alternative model of leadership.
Mainly, I want to give the people a second choice. And I feel like the mayor and I have very different visions of what Heber City is and what it can be. And I'd like to offer the people that choice.
He said his top priorities are truly affordable housing for people living and working in Wasatch County, as well as the redevelopment of downtown. Phillips, who works as a financial advisor, said he wants to support city staff as mayor. He said he and Franco share some common ground, and he hopes to run a civil, ideas-focused campaign. Franco didn't immediately respond to KPCW's requests for comment Monday or Tuesday. As mayor, she has made open space protection a hallmark of her work in government, also serving as the chair of the Wasatch Open Lands Board. Franco ousted incumbent Colleen Potter in a tight race during the 2021 election, winning with 51% of the votes. Before becoming mayor, she served two terms on the city council. Grace Dorfler, KPCW News.
With me is Summit Community Gardens and Eats Executive Director Helen Nadel. She's here in studio to give an update on the growing season and programs to get kids and adults in the dirt.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's really nice to be here with you today. I'm going to back up and just say for folks who are just remembering that we have a gardening season here, that Summit Community Gardens and Eats is our mission is to grow, learn, and gather in our community garden near Matinu Park and in our schools and in our community. We are really all about building community through food. So just wanted to share that with everybody. And, it's funny, I've had lots of farmer friends tell me, it's feeling like spring. Daytime temps, it's feeling like spring. I know we're going to get a little storm, I think, which is great. But watch those nighttime temperatures. That's really what we need to be looking at. That's really when spring hits and when the growing season begins. So really excited about that.
Yeah, and I heard that there is something new in the garden. There's a new garden manager.
Yes.
So what's going on there?
Yeah, so Summit Community Gardens, as I said, near Matinu Park, is a really unique gathering space in Summit County. It's the only public community garden in Summit County, and we run tons of public programming from May to October, from camps for kids to plot renters, being able to rent plots and grow their own food, and really kind of address food security in a bunch of different ways at the garden. Another one is our food pharmacy program, where we're growing in the garden. Our staff is growing to deliver food to folks who are experiencing food insecurity and chronic disease in our community. Lots and lots of programs, dinners, we'll kind of get into more of that later. But what I can share now is that some of the just really exciting news is that we just hired a brand new garden manager who comes to us with a wealth of experience, both in tons of growing experience and gardening experience and farming experience at different kinds of scales, from kind of large community farms to backyard gardening and helping people garden in their backyards, from a really amazing organization in Salt Lake called Green Urban Lunchbox. So lots of experience growing, like I said, with working with volunteers, working with members of the public, even working with kids. So she's really a perfect fit. Jess Collette, if you're out there, thank you so much for joining what's really an amazing team. We have, that's part of the excitement this year starting out as well. So Jess is, like I said, just started last week and has hit the ground running, in part thanks to our wonderful garden advisor, who a very experienced farmer here in Summit County. Shout out to the Summit County farmers. So Andrea Morgan at Moonshadow Farm really helped to kind of elevate our work to bring in. So by the time Jess arrived, we're just transitioning now, and she is hitting the ground running. We are having the garden opening day celebration early May, May 3rd, for our plot runners out there.
Okay, and I hear there are still some more plots.
Yeah,
available.
Yeah. You know, we have, it's interesting. I mean, there's, depending on how you count it, we have about 125, 128 plots available for rent to our community members. And we still do have about 12 or 15 of those left. So if you are interested in growing in community, I mean, I want to just say, this is not an easy growing place. You know, if anybody's ever tried to garden, but doing it in community with a lot of other people, a lot of whom have a lot of experience. I mean, it's incredible the skills that people have that they do bring to the table. We also always every year have lots of new folks. And growing in community provides a bunch of things. I mean, it does provide resources. It provides connection with other people. We have people growing from every part of our community, folks who are really using it as an important food source for their families, as well as people who are, hobby gardeners who want to grow flowers and maybe some special herbs for their culinary use. So it's really, it's one of the places in I think in Park City where people of very, very different walks of life come together to share in kind of it's a shared activity that people can engage in. So that is really cool. And we've got lots of resources. I mean, our staff is there to help. We've got season extension kits to help extend what is technically a 65-day growing season with lots of frosts in there. So lots of things that we can do to help extend the growing season and maximize the chance of a good harvest for folks. So it's great. If you are at all interested, please hop on our website, www.summitcommunitygardens.org, for more information.
Awesome. And I also heard there's a class coming up on May 13th. I believe it's a free class. Tell us a little bit about
it. Yeah, sure. And I will say we do offer a lot of free programs in the garden. This is one that is at our $25 level. But we are, we've already done three gardening classes, sort of gardening at high altitude 101, and then really moving all the way through. We are partners at Basin Rec, allowed us to use their space to do a seed starting and sowing class. So we've done three gardening classes with Andrea Morgan from Moonshadow Farm at the helm. But Jess, our new garden manager, is going to be leading this. And this is really a, you know, what do you need to do to be ready, whether you're a plot renter or whether you have a, you know, a garden plot in your own backyard or in your own space at, where you live, where we're going to be talking about working the soil, what kinds of soil amendments, what kind you might want to add to the soil to help your whatever you're growing to grow. A lot of the tools that you can use to help the soil, kind of stir up the soil in great, safe, healthy ways to kind of bring more of the natural microbiology that's in the soil to the to really support that. So using tools, when to start planting what, which I think is always the mystery here. I'll say, you know, secret hint, peas, really good as soon as you can get the, as soon as you can work the soil, you can actually get peas in even before kind of what we consider to be kind of a safe date, which tends to be around here. Honestly, like, you know, watch those nighttime temperatures, but, you know, early, mid-May, I mean, we're having, it is warming up a lot, but again, just watch those nighttime temperatures and plant those peas as soon as you can. So anyway, that class is on May 13th. I think that's a Tuesday. It's from 5:30 to 7. It's in the garden. You can find out more information about that on our website.
Awesome. And, you know, the garden really does a lot of different stuff. You've mentioned some of these programs, these classes. What are some continuing things that the community should be aware of?
Thank you for asking. Just want to highlight, we have an incredibly beautiful program that invites children into the garden space to really welcome spring in an after-school program on Mondays and Fridays. This is something that actually started during COVID because we recognized the need that families and children had to be outdoors and also to be in connection with nature. We all know, just parenthetically, you know, the mental health benefits from being outside, we all know. Being outside in gardening is also linked to all kinds of great mental and physical health benefits. We know our kids need that. The program that started during COVID is still continuing today. And so kids will come to the garden, we'll start planting peas and other things as we temperatures start warming up. We're really looking at the full cycle from soil, planting seeds, tending seeds, getting the garden ready for the incredible camp program that we offer. I will say we are almost sold out with camp. We do still have a few. There are still a few weeks available. We have so far given away over 50 scholarships. And many of those are full scholarships. We feel like it's really important for every single person in our community, every kid, to have access to the kind of the wonder and the magic of the garden, as well as access to fresh, healthy food. And that's, you know, I'll just say parenthetically, that's where the food pharmacy program comes in. This is an incredible collaboration between three incredible partners. I want to give a shout out to the Christian Center of Park City and to the People's Health Clinic. We have been working together. This is our third year with the food pharmacy, and we are, growing a lot of food to provide for people experiencing food insecurity and chronic disease. So really an important program. I think sometimes folks don't realize the level of food insecurity that does exist here in Park City. So really love that program and that idea that everybody should have access to these resources that we have in Summit County.
Yeah, and the food that goes to the food pharmacy program is grown by your organization, but people that have plots can also donate food as well. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So last year, the garden staff in kind of the center of the garden that we call the demonstration garden, which is where we have you know, lots and lots of crops that grow successfully here growing to sort of show everybody what grows, how to grow it. We also this year, new this year, will have a snacking garden that's available for kids in our programs or families who come, really available to anybody to, you know, grab a sugar snap pea or a cherry tomato. It's pretty magical. In that center space, last year we grew 1,500 pounds of food that were provided, and our plot runners volunteered to provide and donate an additional 500 pounds of food. So that was a total of 2,000 pounds of the freshest, most delicious, incredibly local produce that we know folks, you know, from the People's Health Clinic. These are foods that are so fresh and delicious, it's not always food that folks are able to have access to. Provides incredible health benefits, obviously. We know that about fruits and vegetables. And yeah, it's just been a really, really amazing way to connect people to the land and to what grows here and to health.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to bring up is the Summit Community Gardens and Eats is hosting a sustainability workshop with Recycle Utah next week. I believe that's in honor of Earth Month, April's Earth Month. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, shout out to our friends at Recycle Utah, another great partner, and the Park City Library. Really want to thank them for inviting the two of us to come and share what we know about sustainability. So in the area of composting, zero food waste, growing your own food, reducing plastic use, all of these areas that I think, you know, we all know something about and care something about, but actually like putting that into practice, you know, finding out, like figuring out what is it that I'm going to do to elevate my sustainability practices at home and in my life is always something we can all learn from. So that is a great program. It is on Earth Day. It's next Wednesday at the library. I am really hoping that somebody can remind me what time it is. I think it's 5:30. But that's please okay. Go on the, you know, any of our websites, any of those three organizations, particularly the library, will have all the details. That is free. I'm going to just shout out, we also have free family yoga in the garden, monthly free family yoga starting. So that's generally the second Saturday. You can check the website. But lots of free programs for education at the garden as well. Really, really love when we can do that. We've got some great community members who help support us in that way so that we can offer things free to the community.
Awesome. Is there anything else you want to add this morning?
You know, I want to just mention that we are once again doing the La Milpa program in partnership with Artists in Mexico in Utah, which, again, another really incredible organization. We are creating space for indigenous growing practices within the garden. So from May to October, or May to September, there's, you know, space in the garden for folks to share the cultural practices that have been carried on for generation around growing, around sustainability, and around the land. And then we do have three workshops. Don't have the dates for those yet, but those are really incredible events that where Mayan elders come and lead us all in kind of that connection to nature, those kinds of programming. So wanted to just mention that. Please go to the website, check out what we've got going. Can't wait to see everybody in the garden this year. Something for everyone.
Great. We've been speaking with Summit Community Gardens and Eats Executive Director Helen Nadel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
A suspected car thief is in custody after officers shut down an area of Park Meadows to make the arrest Tuesday. KPCW's Connor Thomas reports the man was wanted in far eastern Utah.
The Park City Police Department and Summit County Sheriff's Office closed the area near Lucky John Drive and Little Kate Road to serve a warrant at a nearby home around 10:30 a.m. Tuesday. Summit County Sheriff spokesperson Skylar Talbot tells KPCW authorities arrested a man living on Little Kate suspected of car theft in eastern Utah. The warrant came from Utah's 8th District Court, which covers Daggett, Duchesne, and Uinta counties. Talbot says the man was held at the Summit County Jail before being transferred to the agency that requested Park City and Summit County's help. Talbot did not disclose the agency. He would only say no federal agencies were involved. The suspect's name has not been released, and roads have since reopened. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
And this has been the Local News Hour. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I'm Christine Weller. I've been filling in for Leslie Thatcher.